This is Business Rockstars. I'm Brittany Lehman, and my guest today is Leslie Masoner, executive producer of Pure Play Entertainment. Leslie, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So tell me a little bit about your entrepreneurial journey and your background that led you to start Pure Play Entertainment.
Well, it was a very long journey, actually, and I went through several businesses. I had a couple of law firms, and I had worked more in the music space. And as that kept changing, I kept kind of pivoting and working in different aspects of that as an attorney. Mm-hmm. And we did a lot of production with music videos at the time, and MTV was showing a lot of music videos. And then as that business went away, I got more into film and television, and I was always packaging them for clients. And mm-hmm. I had a client of mine that asked me to produce a film for him. And it just was like this natural thing that I progressed into, because as a producer, you're a problem solver, you put things together, and it just is in a different way. And you apply all of the same skills as a lawyer, because you have contracts and unions you're dealing with and all of the things. So it was a really easy transition for me. And actually, I find that the biggest asset for me is that I do have that legal background, and I am a problem solver. So when you're in production, as you probably know, there's a lot of issues that come up, you know, rights issues, employment issues, and those are things that I already have a solid base on.
Amazing. Yeah. And what was the first step you took when you were really serious about starting your company?
Well, I actually started my company three times. First time I started it, I had all these great projects, and I was super excited, and CBS had optioned a script of mine, and I thought, okay, here we go. And then a lot of delays happened, and a movie that was coming out that they were really hot on didn't do as well as they thought, so then they kept putting that script on the back burner because that particular genre wasn't popular at that moment. And so I still had to live, and so I kind of kept my legal practice going. And I had a firm in Century City and a lot of employees, and I was trying to balance both of them. Plus, then I had two children.
Wow.
So I kept putting the production in the back burner.
Right.
And but it was always my passion to go back to it. And then as my kids got older and I had a little more flexibility, I closed my law firm. Okay. And took the clients I liked working with and started working from home. And that gave me the ability. I produced another movie. And as anyone that's an independent producer can tell you, you know, projects can be few and far between, because you spend a lot of time developing them, attaching talent, shopping them around. And so it becomes a very tedious and long process. And when you make a movie, you live with that movie for a very long time, and you deal with residuals and you deal with unions and all the things that I hadn't dealt with. And so I kept my law practice going. And then one of my clients that was a celebrity that had a lot of brands asked me to manage his brands. And for 15 years, I did that and put deals together. And we produced a lot of beauty segments for various TV talk shows and different beauty shows and reality shows. And I got immersed in all of that, and which was a great television experience. And so after that kind of ended, primarily because the market changed and that market got so flooded, and we had built up this business that had a very big overhead, and we couldn't change fast enough and bring our costs down to compete with the flood that had happened in the market.
Right.
So after that, I actually produced a reality competition beauty show for Discovery.
Okay.
And in that process, I had several projects that had been optioned by another big production company. And I met my current partner. And what I was finding and what I was experiencing at that time was that as I got older, everyone was really hot on what do the millennials want? Who's millennials only know what other millennials want, because everybody couldn't figure it out.
And
I had like a million meetings of people going, well, you know, we're trying to focus on the millennials. And the problem was, is that they don't understand that they're not consumers like the generation before them.
Right.
And so it was interesting, because I would go into meetings with my assistant, who was a younger guy, and everybody wanted to hear what he thought. And I thought, you know what? I'm not going to fight this because it's never going to be a winning battle. I have a ton of experience, and if I have a front person that's a young, attractive guy that can talk the talk, I don't have an ego with it. I'd rather just get it done.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what I did. And we partnered up and we started shopping around different projects, and we forged a relationship with a streaming network, and it's been like taking off ever since then.
I love that you kind of dipped your foot in everything.
Well, you have to, because sometimes, you know, if you look at any entrepreneur that's really successful, they've had many businesses that have failed before that. And I don't think any of my businesses really failed. Some of them aged themselves out. But I think that out of every failure is a success, because you do learn a lot and you learn how to pivot. And right now we're at such a critical time where we're constantly pivoting. These disruptor companies are going in and taking every aspect of every business. Mm-hmm. And they're looking at, okay, where can we modernize this business and make it better?
Right.
And make it more accessible to our digital age, you know? And it's really interesting, though, because we were hired by a Japanese company to produce a digital series for the Olympics.
Oh, wow.
And their whole message is, in this digital age, don't forget your culture and where you came from, which I really like, because we get caught up in technology and we're all moving so fast. And it's like, wait a minute, take a step back, enjoy what you have, remember family, remember your culture and where you came from, because we're becoming this global community that, all the lines that were traditionally there are blurred so much now.
So what's harder, starting a business or being an attorney? Are they both pretty equal?
They're pretty hard. You know, they just take a lot of work.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because even being a lawyer now is being disruptive a little bit. Mm-hmm. The computer and technology, and people think they can do their own legal work. And they can for some things. But, there's all these websites now where they can kind of go in and fill in the blanks, it makes legal look a lot easier than it really is.
Right.
And most clients and people that I know that have done that have missed a bunch of issues they just didn't know existed.
Right.
And that's why we went to school for so long and we were trained to look for them. But the same in the film and television industry, that's changed so dramatically. Mm-hmm. And these big companies with huge overheads are struggling now because we're constantly having to pare down, be very agile, be able to pivot and address these now streaming platforms, which are really taking over.
Right.
And it'll be interesting to see how networks survive.
Yeah.
Because there's so much available now via streaming, via digital. And people love this information and they love the freedom that they have. You know, they're no longer constraints, you know, from a network standpoint.
Right.
And so we're getting a lot of really rich content and things that we could never make before, which is really exciting to me.
That is so exciting. And you've kind of seen this space evolve over the years. What has that been like, and how are you kind of staying ahead of the competition?
We're constantly, like I said, pivoting to keep our overhead low, hire like-minded people that have, you know, they love this genre and this content, and we're working with the streaming networks to keep people engaged in shows, because as you know, between seasons is a long time sometimes, and people will jump ship to a different show.
Right.
And so the networks are now trying to figure out, how do we keep them there? How do we entertain them enough that they're going to be excited to come back for the next season.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're kind of building out new platforms for that, which is fun because it's not only just your typical bonus content of interviews and behind the scenes and all of that, but they're actually doing original scripted content, but it's short form.
Amazing.
So you'll take a character from a show and build out a part of his story that didn't get explored in the original show, which is really fun for us because we can take it a lot of places and you know, fans geek out on that stuff.
Yeah. A lot of wantrepreneurs, people who want to start or grow a business, often don't, because they let that fear of failure get in the way. What advice do you have for those people who are wanting to start a business?
Well, initially, I mean, obviously educate yourself on how to run a business, because mm-hmm. I can't even tell you how many people have approached me and they're like, yeah, we're going to start this business and I've got my buddy and we both make movies and we're this and that. And I'm like, do you know how to run a business?
Right.
Like the nuts and bolts of running a business, and they have no clue.
Right.
So educate yourself on that, and especially finance. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest asset for anyone in this business is learning how to budget. Mm-hmm. And budget shows, but also budget your business.
Right. Amazing. Well, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is Business Rockstars. This is my amazing guest, Leslie Masoner, executive producer of Pure Play Entertainment.
Mother's Day is this Sunday, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing special. One dozen assorted roses for mom for $19.99. And as a special bonus, double the roses and get a premium vase for just $9.99 more. Go to proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone, and enter the secret code 1717. With fresh flowers, express delivery, and unique vases and accessories that mom will love, Pro Flowers has everything you need to get your Mother's Day shopping done for all the moms you know. Order now from Pro Flowers to get amazing savings. Just pick a delivery date and its freshness is guaranteed or your money back. One dozen assorted roses sent fresh from the farms and guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 days, starting at $19.99. Or double the roses and get a premium vase for just $9.99 more. Order now, because Mother's Day is this Sunday. The only way to get this amazing deal is to go to proflowers.com, click on the microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 1717. That's proflowers.com, secret code 1717.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America.
This is Business Rockstars, and we are back with Leslie Masoner, executive producer of Pure Play Entertainment. Leslie, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So for those who are just tuning in, give me a little background on you and what Pure Play Entertainment is.
Pure Play Entertainment is a boutique production company. We provide content for streaming services primarily. We do develop our original content, but we have built an agile production company that just trying to fill a niche in the space of entertainment that can deliver high quality content for the prices of the lower streaming service budgets.
And we were talking earlier in the first segment about how you started your business three times, essentially.
Yes.
What was the biggest challenge you faced when you started Pure Play Entertainment?
Well, it's just sustaining yourself while your business is growing, and you kind of have to have a balance of, is there another business that I can have a stream of income that can support me while I'm building this business? Because typically in the first couple of years, it's very difficult.
And you are a lawyer, you have a business, you're a mom. Do you think work-life balance is one big myth, or do you think that's actually achievable?
It is sometimes.
Yeah.
And other times not. You know, it's just you have to prioritize it, obviously. And what's great in this digital age is you can be more involved with your family and still work. Mm-hmm. But it is difficult sometimes, especially while you're building, because it's really time intensive. But I can't tell you the number of soccer games and baseball games that I was sitting on my phone. But I was there and
there,
I was engaged, you know, and, but it's, I mean, we're so fortunate we can be like that now,
right,
and be very mobile. Because when I first started practicing law, you sat in an office and you were there all the time. And
right.
So that's why I closed my practice, because I was there 18 hours a day and I didn't have children to have someone else raise them.
Right.
So I went home and started working from there.
And do you think, you know, being a lawyer, that discipline really helped you start your business?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Not only the discipline, but watching other people fail.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was, you know, it was interesting how many people would come to me and they wanted me to set up their corporation and they had this pseudo business plan, which most people don't understand the business plan is your Bible for your business.
Right.
And you don't just throw it together to look pretty. And it's really, you need to put a lot of thought into how am I going to implement and run this business? And that should be reflected in your business plan. So many entrepreneurs think that it's just a marketing tool.
Right.
And they throw in all these buzzwords and they have this, you know, model that they don't even understand.
Right.
And that's where they start. That's the beginning of their failure.
And then it's like, now what?
Yeah,
now
exactly.
What's next?
And so, it's interesting how it's evolved, though, because all these disruptor companies they have like really great ideas, but you need to have knowledge on how to implement those ideas and how to budget yourself and your company and keep your overhead low. Because a lot of them, I would see they would have 5 minutes of success and they would make a bunch of money, run out and buy big cars and big offices. And then the next project doesn't come in and they're gone.
And what's the benefit of having a co-founder? How has that kind of helped you?
Well, picking a co-founder is really important because you really need to find somebody that complements yourself, that has a different skill set than you. Because a lot of times people will get together that have the same skill set, and then you have to go out and hire everybody else to fill those voids. And we, like in my company, my partner is more of the financial side and he does budgeting. He's a line producer. And I was more of the legal business side, but I'm also a very creative person. And it was really nice that we came together because we were able to complement one another and we don't have to go outside and hire a bunch of people. I can do the legal, he can do the bookkeeping and the, you know, budgeting and all of that.
Yeah. And where do you see the future of storytelling and kind of where that's heading in the next 5 years?
It's really exciting because like I said earlier, the streaming networks, you don't have the stifling of the traditional network business. And so we've got all this really creative, rich content that couldn't get made 10 years ago that now can. And the streaming networks are taking risks on a lot of them. And they're also taking and giving them time to develop a fan base. You know, before when things would be aired on the network, if it didn't perform well in the first couple of weeks, it'd get canceled and you wouldn't see it again. And some of our best TV shows and things have been able to grow and really have a great fan base now because of it.
That's amazing. What would you say in business has been your greatest success and your most memorable failure?
Pure Play is my success because it was my passion project and I'm finally doing it and actually making a living doing it.
Yeah.
So that, I think, is my biggest success. I've had a lot of really great successes along the way, but just constantly not putting myself in a corner where I'm stuck in a business that I had no passion for or my passion ran, you know, in a different direction. Like with my law firm, I built a law firm that grew very quickly and we had offices in two cities and I had a partner and we were both women and we both were pregnant at the time and our business just took off. And it just, for me, I thought that's what I really wanted to do. And as my life changed, so did my focus on that business. And so it wasn't a failure. I just changed. And I'd be okay with that, you know. But we, as two women, mothers, with this huge law firm, we came together and said, this isn't what either of us want to do. I mean, we were working 18, 20-hour days. And so we closed it and we moved on and did our own thing. But that was a success.
Right.
It just was for a period of time, you know. And that's the nice thing and the hard thing for people to understand is that you can constantly create small successes and grow, you know, and learn. And every business, even a failure, is a success because you do learn from that.
What advice do you have for entrepreneurs who want to break into the content creation space?
For content creators, it's really understanding the space. A lot of people have great ideas for content. They just don't understand how to market those ideas and how to do the hard work of, you know, packaging those ideas. And a lot of them think, oh, I've got to go get an agent. Well, agents won't take you unless you have a track record.
Right.
And a lot of times agents don't see, there's a lot of really great agents, but they're sometimes they don't see your vision. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to hone your vision, build a really great presentation for your vision, get out and meet as many people as you can, network, get into where managers are that create talent, try to get, you know, talent interested, mm-hmm. even a director or a writer, another writer that a lot of times this is a huge part of it, is that I always tell people it's better to have a piece of something that's a success than 100% of nothing.
Well, Leslie, thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you.
This is Business Rockstars, and that was my amazing guest, Leslie Masoner, executive producer of Pure Play Entertainment.
Oh my gut! We need to talk about something. Constipation, abdominal pain, and bloating. You tell yourself, it's not that bad. You take laxatives and modify your diet and exercise routine. But thinking about it all the time is frustrating. This doesn't have to define you. If your constipation comes back again and again and you don't know why, then it may be time to seek help. Go to ohmygut.info where you can learn more about your symptoms and get to know your gut. That's ohmygut.info. ohmygut.info.
Staff Sergeant Ryan Pitts of the 173rd Airborne Brigade speaks about what it means to receive the Medal of Honor.
I'm the one that got the recognition because I received the award, but like I know that this isn't mine. I just was trying to follow everybody else around me. You know, all these guys did incredible things. The only reason I'm here, the only reason I have a wife, the only reason I have kids is because those guys gave everything they had that day.
The American Veterans Center protects the legacy and honors the sacrifice of American veterans. To hear more, like us on Facebook.
Welcome to the DocuSign Agreement Cloud. Every industry, every organization, every department, everywhere in the world relies on agreements. The DocuSign Agreement Cloud finally allows you to digitally connect, automate, accelerate, and simplify the way you prepare, sign, act, and manage agreements better. We call that being more agreeable. DocuSign Agreement Cloud.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
Joining us right now is Dennis Yu. He's the CTO of Blitzmetrics. Dennis, it's a pleasure to have you, brother. Give us a quick recap. What's your company do?
We create jobs for young adults through training programs where the companies are subsidizing it. We do it for large enterprise companies, big brands, Golden State Warriors, Rosetta Stone, Red Bull, Nike, those kinds of things.
And you have some of the industry's highest return on ad spends. Basically, somebody gives you a dollar, you're able to give them $5, $10, $20, $40 back on their money. That may not seem exciting, except when you get into the millions.
If you're an owner, you tell the owner, you put a dollar into the machine and you get back a 20, how many dollars would you like to put in?
That's what
you guarantee
I'm saying.
It to?
When you only hear it as you spend a dollar, you make $20, but when you talk about spend a million, make 20 million, it starts to get really exciting. And you have some of the highest industry return on ad spends for your clients, which I think is exciting. And one of the ways that you do that is with something as simple as what you call the dollar a day strategy. You taught it to me. It's something that's helped me just exponentially grow my personal brand and not only get more awareness and engagement, but also make more money simply for spending a minimum of a dollar a day on Facebook. Talk about the dollar a day strategy that your company not only practices, but also teaches around the world to not only, you know, personal brands and companies like myself, but for huge Fortune 500 clients. What's the dollar per day strategy?
Dollar a day starts with inception, which is the dream inside the dream inside the dream. Because if you want to influence the influencer, think about the idea of a dollar when you use the advertising platform. It's not to advertise, it's to PR incept. I can reach 200 people. Who are the 200 exact people that you want to reach? How about the people who are the editor at Forbes? How about they write for the LA Times? How about they work at a particular kind of company? Yeah. If you're an entrepreneur, who is it that you want to reach? Do you want to reach people who work at your client to say hello? Do you want to reach likely clients? One of my friends wanted to get his stuff inside Walmart. He's got all the licensing for Elvis pillows and bedding and that kind of stuff. So he targeted all the people that work at Walmart in Bentonville, Arkansas, and do purchasing, right? And merchandising. That's a very tight group, 20, 30 people. And when you hit those people dollar a day with the right content, that results in phone calls. Yeah. So when we get cited in CNN or Wall Street Journal, we turn around and target the people who work at USA Today to see what the folks at Forbes and LA Times and these other places are writing about it. So anything that you have, you want to multiply forward. So the dollar day strategy is, how do I take a minimum dosage? Because as an entrepreneur, you're trying to get more for less. You're trying to appear bigger than you actually are. You don't have a lot of money. You're trying to look big, right? How do I minimum dosage? I want maximum output. Now, that doesn't result in sales right away necessarily, but it does result in influence if your content's good. If you tie it in with remarketing, Google and Facebook have remarketing, universal tags. There's all kinds of tech stuff there, right? And that's what it is. Just repeat, because when people see your stuff time and time again, they're going to see you as the young Tony Robbins. They're going to see us as the experts in digital marketing, because these reporters, they're writing stories. They don't know who the experts are. They have to put out a story every couple of days. You know, they're beat journalists, that kind of thing. And that's what you do. And they see that you're the one they're going to call you.
So for the average business owner out there who maybe says, cool, I'm not creating content right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm just selling, you know, tacos out of my restaurant, or maybe I just have a mom and pop boutique store.
Right.
How can I benefit from the dollar a day strategy?
Interview your best customers. Think like a journalist. Pretend you're a reporter, and it's not about you. See, that's the inception angle. It's about them. So tell us about these tacos. Pretend it's a documentary, and you're talking about how you make it, and you're elevating your best customers. If you're a B2B software company, interview those companies. Anything except for you, because people, their little spam alert advertising, you know, never talk about yourself. It's like Fight Club, right?
Yeah.
But find things that you can share that are interesting. And if you have people that are high authority, that are well-known, and you interview them, and you make them look good, and you're their unknown kind of PR agent, that will reciprocate, because that creates authority, right?
Okay.
Because of who you're associating with.
So once I get that footage, so for example, somebody comes to my restaurant, they eat my incredible tacos, and we've got great Yelp reviews. Instead of just having them write a Yelp review, maybe I incentivize them and I say, hey, I'll give you, you know, some free food next time you come back if you just film a quick little
video. No, you don't even have to do that. Let's say, you know, someone brings their wife to the taco restaurant, they really like it, and then they talk about how, because it's not about the food. I mean, they'll talk about how the food is good, but how did it make them feel? Why is the wife happy? How did it achieve their, you know, the Boy Scouts bring their 30 kids over and they do their party. Make it about them.
But you pull out your phone and just record that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and you put it on Facebook, put it on live, dollar a day, boost it.
Targeting
on your
to
page,
people that live in the area that may be interested.
On your YouTube channel, not your personal profile. Your page is, of course, separate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So people need to start thinking like a journalist, I think, is something that you just said that I found interesting, because so many people haven't identified with that type of personality yet. Like, I'm a journalist and I need to start creating content and I need to start thinking that way. And how important do you think that is to helping people build their business? Because a lot of people, I feel like, will struggle with that. And then they'll come up with a limiting belief that, what he's talking about, maybe I don't need to do, or I won't benefit from it. I'm stuck in the old school mindset, or maybe I'll outsource this or hire this out later.
Yeah.
And it stops them from taking action on it now.
There's every excuse. Oh, I'm busy right now. I don't like how I look. I'm not like Mark Lack. I'm not all super charismatic. But, you know, they're not looking at you as Beyonce or Kim Kardashian. They want to learn. And when you honestly share and you're authentic about this, people will gravitate towards you. And the idea of taking your content and putting it into a sequence, think about every one of us, even though we don't have a TV studio like this necessarily, every one of us can produce content and people are consuming it on their phone. You know, one of my friends, his name's Michael Johnson, and he's followed my stuff the last 7 or 8 years. He's a great pupil. And he had two of his friends impersonate Bernie and Trump. And they have a really good shtick. They go back and forth. I'm not even going to try to like imitate them, right? And they were able to get on Comedy Central using this dollar a day strategy. Then they took to the, what was it, like MTV, Music, all these different sort, you know, the Ellen and what are the other TV shows? I don't even watch TV. But they've gotten all these TV shows using the dollar a day thing, because everything that they see, for anyone that's watching here, they got to know, they got to overcome that initial hurdle. It's just like New Year's resolutions. So you just got to walk the first mile. You want to do a marathon? Just walk the first mile. Get the first piece of content out. Because once friends start to like, once people start to engage with you, that gives you feedback on what you do next. And it's not the kind of thing you hire an agency, you have to spend a lot of money. No, this is just you. And what I like to say is, can you create a 1 minute video? It could be a 1 minute video about why did you start your restaurant, or about your co-founder, about a problem, without selling. Because if you sound like you're selling, you're dead. Yeah. You don't want to do that.
So it simply starts with putting out content and getting yourself out there. CTO of Blitz Metrics, Dennis Yu, is joining us right now. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, and joining us, Dennis Yu, an expert and genius in the area of helping people not only get their message out there, but help build their personal brand. And I love that you're saying people need to just put content out, because I struggle with it. I think a lot of people struggle with it in the beginning. You're worried about what people are going to think. You're worried you're not going to say the right things. You're worried if the lighting or the quality isn't going to be good enough.
Your first ones suck. Just
do it. Your first ones suck. My first interviews, my first speaking engagements on stages, my first videos, my first program, all that stuff sucked when you look back at it. But I love what you're saying is you just have to get out. You just have to start doing it. Is there a situation, is there a context where somebody maybe shouldn't be putting content out? Or is it just kind of like, if you're serious, you're trying to sell products, you're trying to impact the world, you need to be creating content?
Depends on who you're interviewing. So if you're in the area of healthcare and legal and finance, like in cosmetic surgery, we have a couple of cosmetic surgery clients. They can't just put stuff out there. There's HIPAA rules, there's financial rules. But generally, you can do this with permission, and you'd be surprised at how often people will give you permission. Yeah. So let's say a customer, let's say you're monitoring what's going on Yelp and Google and whatever. Someone checks and they say, oh, Mark's thing was really good, whatever the product is or thing that you offer. And then you reply, it's called lightweight consent. You reply, can I quote you on that? Mm-hmm. And they say, yes, stick it on all your marketing materials. Say, wow, I'd really love, you know, next time you come in, I'd love to talk to you about you and your kind of thing. So when you think like a journalist, that's how you create this kind of power. And then you create a library, and you want to have what we call a minion or a specialist that maintains this library for you, because you're a busy entrepreneur. Find someone. It could be your kid. It could be somebody who graduated at UCLA. There's lots of these people.
Hire.
Yeah.
Okay.
Instead of working at McDonald's, they can work on your stuff.
Let's shift gears real fast here. What's the worst job you ever had? Have you had a worse job?
Man, probably for Philip Morris, I was part of the cigarette recall that was like 20 years ago.
What did that entail?
Well, they had some defective cigarettes from Marlboro, and we had to go.
What's a defective cigarette?
I don't know. Must have had like some. It was a
rat
recall.
Poison in it?
Like maybe the tobacco was old or something like that. So we had to go from store to store. I remember we were in, I think, Compton and East LA, and going from store to store, wearing my little badge saying, "Yep, I'm from Philip Morris," and I have to
take the cigarettes back.
Give me all your cigarettes. Yeah, wow, you have to give me all your Marlboro cigarettes.
That couldn't have been easy to do.
Yeah, and then I'm sure all the bums are like trying to get our cigarettes from us. So I quickly learned that if you don't choose what you want to do, someone's going to choose for you. And I was just trying to make some money for summer, right? I didn't know any better.
So you just said a powerful quote. If you don't choose, somebody's going to choose for you. I feel like a lot of the times people just in life, they choose to go down the path of having a 9-to-5 job.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I feel like a lot of people have let others choose the path that they're supposed to live because of the way it used to be. But I feel like with exponential change and technology and other things in life, I feel like there's a lot of new opportunities out there that people can capitalize on. You know, the majority of the workforce will be independent contractors soon. So what is your advice for the people out there who maybe have a 9-to-5 job right now? They're extremely passionate about entrepreneurship and want to have their own business. They're trying to connect the pieces, and they're listening to shows like this.
Yeah.
They just don't know what the right move is to make for them. What advice do you have for that person?
Be a keen observer of the passing world. When you're working another job, those contain the seeds to the next thing that you do, because you don't want to jump into something just because, oh, my friend does it and I want to try to do it too. That's a disaster. You want to start with where you have the connections. Where do you have the expertise? Where can you already start something? Can you moonlight maybe? A lot of people, so I won't say the name of the person, but someone famous yesterday called for some emergency coaching and said, oh, I'm not really happy in this current job. I want to do this other thing. And we said, well, you can actually do both. And in fact, if you're really good at what you do, you're going to be a good employee, ironically, at that job. At the same time, this builds your personal brand. So ironically, if you're going to start something else, be the best employee that you can, because that probably is going to align with your expertise, unless you're doing something that's so awful that you're just doing that to pay, you're like driving Uber or whatever. Right?
Yeah,
we know 40% of the jobs out there are contingent jobs. I mean, people are doing it part-time just because they're trying to make a little extra money. I'm not saying become an expert in Uber, but you certainly have some kind of expertise. Build that network. Don't be so quick to try to jump out. You know, Vaynerchuk talks about that too. You've got to moonlight. You got to work twice as hard, because you got to work two jobs in the interim until you can say, all right, I'm going to quit. Because you don't want to just quit and all of a sudden you're in trouble.
Have no cash flow to pay bills.
If you've got kids and a mortgage, be careful about that.
Powerful stuff. Dennis, you,
Thank you, Mark.
The myth, the legend. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
These are a few of the keys you need for success in running a small business, but they are also important attributes no matter what you are doing in life. I'm Alex Worley with Business Rockstars Minute. Number one, adaptability. As you roll out your enterprise, you'll discover that things you expected to work well don't work at all, and you'll stumble into things that you didn't expect to work that will. You'll have to adapt. Number two, persistence. You'll lose big customers. Good employees will leave your company, and some may become competitors. To succeed, you will have to be willing to persist through these difficult times. Nothing can take the place of persistence, and you can't succeed without it. Number three, work ethic. Running a small business is difficult. Your days will be much longer than 8 hours. If your week starts on Monday, you'll pass 40 hours on Thursday, but you won't slow down. You'll be on call 24/7. Success as an entrepreneur requires hard, hard work. I'm Alex Worley, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front.
How can you use video to start and grow your business? I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining us to help answer that question is an expert on the topic, Mari Rogo. He's the CEO and founder of Rip Media Group. Pleasure to have you on the show, brother.
Thank you very much.
So how can we do it? You guys help big clients, all different shapes and sizes, do this. Break it down for us.
Sure. So, yeah, we've helped from Cisco Systems and the United Nations down to single-person entrepreneurs. So how do we start and grow a business based on video? So, you know, the starting points are that you need to focus on your story, and that story has to be translated out. And there's a reason why video works so well. So maybe we should just start there.
Let's do it.
The reason why video works so well, it is.
Video is like every social media platform has started to integrate video.
You have to. Yeah. You know, again, look at Facebook, look at Instagram, everything is video now. So it's because it's the most consumed content, right? It's the most valuable content. Your SEO rankings go up if you use it. You know, people will watch that. It's the most viewed content on every website that's out there right now. Yeah. And if you look at Cisco, which is one of our customers, they're saying in the next 2 years, roughly 75 to 80% of all internet traffic is going to be video. So if you're not on board, you have to get on board now.
Yep.
So where do we go from there? And let me say why it's so effective and why it's so important. A, we're bombarded with information. We don't have time to read. Then, you know, who's going to take the time to read a white paper and read this blog and that kind of thing? It does happen, but most people want to just see, hear, and feel. And video is the vehicle to deliver that.
Yep.
Okay, so how? There's many ways. So we can. There's the kind of the higher end. You know, you think about, you know, commercials we've made that can go on, you know, TV commercials and so on, down to the typical explainer video, down to homemade.
Down to the selfie.
Down to the selfie video.
Down to the selfie video, which is insane because I have a handful of friends that have seven-figure businesses, and the only camera they have is either their smartphone or the camera on their laptop. And I have people all the time who tell me, I can't do it because I don't have the budget. I don't have a camera. I don't have the lights. I don't, you know, whatever. It's just fill in the blank. Fill in the blank with a limiting excuse about why they can't create great quality content.
So it goes back to me, it goes back to authenticity. As far as like the do-it-yourself video, I know some that works, but we're really, we're a creative studio, so we create a little bit bigger, versions of that. So I don't know that much about the selfie market, but I know why it works.
It's just back to what we said, being transparent, being authentic, being real.
You are the brand. Yeah. Those people are the brand. People are buying the person and the personality.
People care less about how it's delivered, just that it's delivered in a way that I want it. Like, this is something, like, I don't care if it's, Kim Kardashian doing a selfie video, people are still going to watch it because they just care about the transparency, the authenticity, the realness of it.
And it's the relatable factor. If I can relate to this person, then I will probably buy or listen to what he's telling me. Yeah. So if you think of it in B2B world, we do a lot of business to business. If I'm like this company or this person that's speaking to me, I'm already tuned in. This guy's like me or somebody that I want to be like. This guy's in shape and he's got great hair, whatever it might be, it is. So I'm going to listen to this and this will transport me. But if it's a business, they want your business to be like theirs. They want to emulate you. Mm-hmm. So if you're putting video out that doesn't match the rest of your branding, there's a disconnect, and for some reason we just turn off. There's I have a cheap video on a beautiful website. It doesn't make sense. Something's wrong. We don't get it.
Congruency is key.
Yes.
Congruency.
We talk about it's got to be consistent. It's got to be clear, and it's got to be concise.
Yep.
Your message has to be concise. It's got to be short as possible. 30 seconds to a minute is really optimal right now.
CEO and founder of RIP Media Group, Mario Rogo is joining us. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Dive back in for us, brother.
All right.
I feel like there's so many entrepreneurs and business owners out there who can benefit from learning how to use video. We talked about it's one of the fastest trends happening right now on social media and all over the world, video content. But a lot of people out there don't see themselves as content creators.
Right. So there's an easy acronym I put together for people to understand how they can focus and how they can create their video content, okay? So there's two things. One is the stuff, all right? The stuff stands for what's sexy, touching, unique, what can be funny, or what delivers fear to the viewers. Remember, we talk about this being an experience for them.
Yeah.
So when we get into storytelling, we get into video, again, it can be a selfie video, it can be something that's shot live, it can be animation. And one of the interesting things we found out about animation is it's accepted so much more because the barrier that we have, like somebody watching this right now might not, I remind them of that guy in high school that they didn't like, whatever it might be. So kind of the talking head video, people can kind of tune out sometimes. And when it's interesting like this, honestly, people are really invested, they want to be here. But if it's something a little bit more peripheral, animation steps in and our guard is down. We're open because we all watch these as little kids.
This is the cartoon.
It's a cartoon. Yeah. It's great. Even if it's beautiful and elegant and high end, if there is story in it and we have beginning, middle, and end and it relates to me and I can relate to the characters inside, I'm invested. And now there's no block. And that's why animation's been taking off. So the stuff, let's get back to that. Yeah. So some people don't think that their brand is going to be very sexy, but a 12, 14% return for a stockbroker, that's pretty sexy.
Yeah,
because that can get me somewhere that I couldn't get before, right?
Yeah.
Touching is beautiful. I need nostalgia, anything that really, you can show the effect or the experience of what you did for somebody's life. Even if it's B2B, this kid can go play with his kids now, and he doesn't have to miss that championship baseball game. So that's really the effect of having something more efficient during the day, if you're selling a business software, perhaps. Unique, unexpected, you've got to take that left turn. You've got to do something to disrupt people's day. If you play it safe, whether it's a selfie video, whether it's a $50,000 video or anything in between, playing it safe, you're down here on the acceptance level. Disrupt, take a left turn, do something funny,
be crazy, unique. Be ridiculous.
I can't say ridiculous, but sometimes absolutely that'll work. Yeah. I mean, look at Dollar Shave Club. Worked pretty well there.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen another company that did over $10 million in sales within their first year was a company that was basically to cover up the smell of after going to the restroom.
Right, poopery.
Poopery, yes you already know, exactly. And they did an incredible job of creating unconventional marketing and storytelling around, spray the poopery.
Right.
Another one is the Squatty Potty. They did another amazing job of just telling the funny story about how to keep your colon clean. And so there's a lot of brands out there that do silly, funny, unconventional marketing about maybe a serious topic. And it's incredible how many sales. I mean, I love studying things like the Dollar Shave Club, and that spawned the Dollar Beard Club.
Right, right.
And these guys are making, hundreds of millions. The Dollar Shave Club is
a billion-dollar buyout.
Pleasure having you on the show, brother.
Thank you.
Thanks for rocking it for our audience.
Thank you.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs is what we do. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.